I want to start today off with a pop quiz. And when I say pop quiz, how many of you get a little bit anxious? Because that's me, having been in school and in seminary for long enough now, I hear pop quiz and my anxiety level just starts to go, what did I forget? But this is a group collective pop quiz, the 12 days of Christmas. We know the song, correct? Do we think that as a group we can name out loud the presents that were given on all 12 days of Christmas? I'll say a number, and then you say back to me what the present is for that day. You ready? 12. Who said Lord's Leaping? That is wrong. That is wrong. 12 drummers drumming. 12 drummers drumming. 11. Pipers piping. 10. Lord's Leaping. 9. This is dancing. 8. 7. 6. 5. And let's pause right there real quick. 5, because everything else is like agrarian and like celebration stuff. 5 golden rings. And if you take the song literally, by the end of the song, someone's true love has given them like 30, 40 golden rings. And that is a lot of money. So we all draw the line in different places. Some say that's too far. I think that's way too far, 40 golden rings. 4, 3, 2, and the 12 days of Christmas. In most of the Western church, we don't even know what that is anymore. We think of Advent wreaths and candles and all the events leading up to the day of Christmas, but then after the day of Christmas, we kind of say, okay, Christmas is gone, it's over, on with the rest of life, on with New Year and making New Year's resolutions and everything else. In most traditions, and in the past, the 12 days of Christmas have been celebrated starting with the day of Christmas for the next 12 days after that, culminating in a 12th day of Christmas that a lot of times is celebrated even bigger and more grand than actual Christmas Day itself. That's why the song builds up slowly to the 12th day of Christmas. All these gifts are being given. That 12th day of Christmas is on January 6th, which was this past Monday, and it's a day that we call Epiphany. And Epiphany is the recognition and remembrance of the wise men coming to visit Jesus. That's how most of the church celebrates it. That 12th day of Christmas was this past Monday, and many Christian traditions celebrated the holy day of Epiphany. And in addition to contemplating the wise men coming to visit Jesus, David last Sunday preached a sermon from Ephesians 5 where he encouraged us to think about living wisely into the new year. So we've got living wisely into the new year, and we have the celebration of the wise men. And so this morning, what I'd like us to consider is the idea of wisdom. What is wisdom? And as I thought about that, I began to ask questions. What really is wisdom? Why does it matter? How do we go about growth in wisdom? You know, the biblical Greek word for wisdom is actually the name of my 3-year-old daughter's favorite cartoon show, Sophia. Now that's the cartoon. This is the Greek word. The Greek word Sophia. You can kind of maybe see the Greek lettering there at the beginning. But the Greek word Sophia is wisdom. The Bible actually talks a lot about wisdom. In fact, there's an entire genre, entire literary genre dedicated to wisdom in the Old Testament especially. Old Testament, we have different genres of literature. You have prophetic texts, you have history texts, you have the Torah, and then you have this wisdom literature section right in the middle, Job, some of the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes that David read from earlier, Song of Solomon. These books are collections of short sayings, stories, discussions that help to describe wisdom broadly and also situational wisdom, very specific things. David used the idea of a string of pearls, collected short sayings on wisdom that collectively give us a bigger picture of what wisdom is. Solomon, David's son, and the king of one of the most prosperous times in Israel's history, was known for his wisdom. And in Proverbs, wisdom is even personified by a lady wisdom character. And wisdom's often referred to in Scripture in the feminine. Jesus even refers back to wisdom and says, wisdom is proven by her children, personifies wisdom in the feminine. So when looking for a text that addresses wisdom and gives us some direction of how we might regard wisdom, I turn to a book in the Bible that's actually in the New Testament, and it's generally regarded as a New Testament wisdom literature, and that's the book of James. The book of James discusses wisdom extensively. It gives us a great place to start in our pursuit of what James calls the wisdom from above. And so today I'll be reading from James chapter 3. This is 13 through 18. Are any of you wise and understanding? Show that your actions are good with a humble lifestyle that comes from wisdom. However, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, then stop bragging and living in ways that deny the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. Instead, it's from the earth, natural and demonic. Wherever there's jealousy and selfish ambition, there's disorder and everything that is evil. What of the wisdom from above? First, it is pure, and then peaceable, gentle, obedient, filled with mercy and good actions, fair and genuine. Those who make peace sow the seeds of justice by their peaceful acts. So this morning, I'd like us to take that passage and then to ask three questions together. The first is, what is wisdom? The second is why it's important. That may not seem like a natural question to ask, but we're going to ask the question together, why is wisdom important? And the third is, how do we grow in wisdom? And my hope for this discussion is that we can live into the new year in David's hope for us last week, that we will live wisely into this new year and we can grow in wisdom together. So as we begin, let's pray one more time together. And Lord, you've taught us to ask, you've taught us to seek and we'll find. You've taught us to knock and the door will be open to us. And so that's what we asked for, that in seeking you would help us find, and that in knocking the door would be open to us, and that we would be granted wisdom as we ask and as we pursue it. And this morning, give us ears to hear what you're saying to us each individually. In your name we pray, amen. So first question, what is it? Wisdom's hard to define. It's really hard to define. If you look it up on the dictionary or on websites, which is what I did as a part of the research process, they have definitions that most of them say the aspect or character of being wise. It's not super helpful, right? Most definitions have some mention of knowledge, but it's not knowledge. Experience, but it's not experience. Making good choices, but it's not just making good choices. Wisdom is hard to encapsulate into a very brief, concise, easy to package definition. And so most people talk around wisdom. They say wisdom is like this, or this saying helps demonstrate what wisdom is. And this morning, I'm not going to do anything earth-shattering. I'm not going to give you a simple definition of wisdom because I'm not going to do something that a bunch of other people have tried and failed to do. This morning, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some big picture things about wisdom and then also look at what James says here. And in starting that process, of course, the first thing I did was to Google things that famous people have said about wisdom. You'll notice these are going to be paired up with one another, and you'll notice some funny things that seemingly contradict one another as a result. The first is that the fool doth think he is wise, but the wise man knows himself to be a fool. That's William Shakespeare. That's really small. Can you see that? Okay, good. The next is sometimes one likes foolish people for their folly better than wise people for their wisdom. That's Elizabeth Gaskell. These next two I really like because they're related to one another. The first is by Aristotle. He says, knowing yourself is the beginning of all wisdom. And that's followed by Socrates, who is one of his predecessors, who says, the only true wisdom is in knowing that you know nothing. Isaac Asimov said, the saddest aspect of life right now is that science gains knowledge faster than society gains wisdom. And then Confucius says, by three methods we may learn wisdom. First, by reflection, which is the noblest. Second, imitation, which is the easiest. And third, experience, which is the bitterest. James takes a similar tactic to others when he talks about wisdom. He doesn't so much say exactly what wisdom is in all of its fullness, but he does a great job of giving us both positive and negative characteristics that help describe it, help to paint a fuller picture of what wisdom is. Part of his strategy is that he starts by saying what wisdom is not. He names some of the enemies of wisdom: bitterness, jealousy, selfish ambition. He names bragging, not living according to the truth, as enemies of wisdom. Apparently, he was writing to churches that were dealing with jealousy, infighting, and power struggles that were destructive. And it's a good thing we don't deal with any of that anymore, right? He characterizes these behaviors and attitudes as examples of anti-wisdom or enemies of wisdom. So clearly, this is what it's not. It's not selfish ambition. It's not self-interest. It's not bragging. And it's not living in ways that are counter to the truth. So to describe wisdom further, he gives 8 characteristics that are found in verse 17. I'm going to put each of those up on the screen one at a time, talk very briefly about each. And the hope is that we can refer back to these later. If you're writing things down, you don't have to worry if you don't get all these down at once. We'll come back to them later. The first is the word pure. Based on the rest of his discussion in James, I think that he likely means either purity of motive or purity of behavior, either way. But when he says that wisdom is pure, I think it's probably a little bit of both, that he means purity in our intentions and purity in how we act. The second is that it's peace-loving. He talks a lot about living peaceably, loving peacefulness. In that verse that we read earlier, he actually points out the importance of peacemaking at the very tail end of that discussion on wisdom. The third is gentle, that wisdom is gentle. The fourth is that it's reasonable, and I think this is a very important one for us to think about in terms of wisdom. That when we say reasonable, we mean the ability to be reasoned with. That I can talk to someone and they're not just going to immediately shut off or close off or dismiss what's said, but they're willing to consider what other people are saying. The ability to be reasoned with is a part of wisdom. Mercy is a big part of wisdom. Knowing when to grant mercy to others, being known as a merciful person. Good works are a big emphasis in the idea of wisdom for James. The wisdom results in doing good, that it's not enough just to say that you're wise, but to actually put it into action and that your works demonstrate that you are a wise person. Impartial, that we are fair and just, not taking sides. That exists alongside mercy, that we are both merciful and impartial and just. And then the last is genuine, that the wise aren't fake, they're sincere, they're authentic. Another theme of James. Each of these words are chosen by James to help dial in what it means to be wise. We get a better picture of wisdom if we consider all these things next to each other. And so what is wisdom? It's really hard to define. We can say some of the things it is, we can say some of the things that it's not. But when I think of wisdom, I think about people. I didn't think I was going to get emotional about this, but Margaret Klein's memorial service is tomorrow morning. And when I think about wisdom, I think about Margaret. I think about both of my grandmas. I think about David and Joe Rohr and Roy and Susan Skeeter and many others of you in our congregation. So many others of you, people that I've grown up admiring and respecting for their wisdom. And when we ask what is wisdom, often the very best definitions for us are the ones that are personified in other people. So that's what is wisdom. Now we move to our next question and ask why. Why is it important to have wisdom? And this may seem like an obvious question. You say, oh yeah, of course. I don't think anyone in here would say wisdom's not important. But why? Why does it matter? My second child, Graham, consistently makes us laugh. We love Graham. He's a funny guy. Recently, we were in the Christmas lights parade for the city of Friendswood. And my wife owns Char Christian Dance Academy, and she had a float in the parade. And the float was Bobby's truck with a sound system with about 100 dancers following along behind on the street dancing and walking with us. And so as a good helper and supporter of Shanna's, I was driving the truck in the Christmas light parade with our family inside. And the boys got to ride in the back to help us out. We have a sound system and a generator back there, and I needed somebody to watch the generator, make sure things were doing okay, and to watch the sound system because the speakers were up on poles and they kept turning. while we were driving. Every time we'd make little adjustments or bumps, one of them would get off. And so I said, Carter, my oldest, I said, you need to sit here and look up at the speakers and make adjustments as they get out of line. And so the whole parade, Carter's sitting there just going, like that, just making little moves. And just on task, Carter with a job is good Carter. Then there's Graham. And Graham, big brother's in the back of the car, and so he gets to ride back there too. And Graham's seated in the back. I get Graham's face and I say, Graham, you have to be on the bed of the truck. You can't stand up. Be on your rear end or on your knees. You can't lean out over the edge of the truck. Stay in the truck. And 2 minutes go by, 2 minutes. We haven't even pulled onto 518 yet, and the music's blaring and people are dancing, and I look back and Graham's back there just going like this. He's standing up. He goes up to the edge of the truck. He, as we pass, he's like pointing at people and like waving and leaning way out over the edge, and I just go, oh. And I go, I'm not going to be the dad that's rolling down the window going, Graham, you know, in the middle of the Christmas parade. So we get to the end of the parade and we pull over and I get Graham's head in my hands and I say, Graham, why? Why could you not listen? It wasn't even 2 minutes and you stopped. What were you thinking? And Graham says, I guess I just like risky behavior. And he goes, maybe I'm feeling like a teenager. Literally says both of those things. And what do you do with that, by the way? As a dad, what do you do with that? Asking why wisdom is important may seem like a weird question, but throughout his letter, James really focuses on linking wisdom to three important ideas I'm going to cover quickly, and the first is attached to that story about Graham. The first why, as we see in Graham's story about why wisdom's important, is that it's directly connected to behavior. It affects the good and bad decisions that we make. It affects the things that we produce. And as a wise, you can tell a wise person by the good that they produce in life. As we grow up and become more wise, our behavior is directly affected, or is affected directly as we grow in wisdom. So that's the first why. First why is that it affects our behavior. The second why that James emphasizes connected to wisdom throughout his epistle is in caring for others. He mentions the poor. He mentions widows and orphans. In that society, these were the people who depended on others to help them. As James talks about faithful living, wisdom, and wisdom that lead to good works, these are the works that he's consistently talking about. He's consistently talking about helping others. Truly wise people wouldn't let others suffer when they can help. And the third why that James consistently connects with wisdom is peacemaking. There's a close link in James's writing between peacemaking and wisdom. He even ends that section that we talked about earlier with verse 18. And verse 18 says, those who make peace sow the seeds of justice by their peaceful acts. These are three good reasons, and it's not an exclusive list, but these are the three main reasons James focuses on in his letter when he talks about wisdom. It leads us to good works. It helps us to help others. And ultimately, it leads us to be peacemakers. It affects the way that we live for the better. So our final question, how do we grow in wisdom? What do we do about it? James actually addresses this at the front end of his letter in chapter 1. And this is verse 5. And while the definition of wisdom is pretty nebulous, the solution that's proposed is not very nebulous at all. It's very clear. But anyone who needs wisdom should ask God, whose very nature is to give to everyone without a second thought, without keeping score. Isn't that beautiful? God's generosity. His very nature is to give without a second thought, without keeping score. Wisdom will certainly be given to those who ask. Wisdom's available. It's available to all. Proverbs affirms this idea as well, but if you're like me and you look at that verse, you say, okay, that seems a little too simple, a little too straightforward. I'd encourage you to be patient. Wisdom takes time. I believe what James says, and I also don't want to turn God into a vending machine for wisdom where we push a button and we get wisdom in return. It might be difficult to know where to start in asking about wisdom. And so in thinking about this, I'd like to give us two further ideas together for how we could ask for wisdom. And as we enter into this new year, what are some ways, so what are some practices that could shape our asking, our praying about wisdom? The first, to help focus our prayers more specifically, is to look back at that list of characteristics that we looked at before. And so here are the eight characteristics we had earlier. And perhaps as we live into a new year together, you might take a moment to look at each of these and reflect and ask, where do I need to grow this year? How do these characteristics of wisdom need to shape my prayers? If it's helpful, you might even take a cell phone out and take a picture of those, be able to spot exactly what those eight are. The hope is that one or more of these stick out as specific characteristics that can help shape our prayers. And so let's just take a quiet moment just to look and to reflect as you look at that list. How might God be calling me to examine my behavior and to pray specifically for one or more aspects of wisdom this year? And secondly, in pursuit of wisdom, it may be helpful to you to keep a journal of your prayers. I'm not a big journaler, but there have been times in my life on specific topics or in specific experiences or trips where keeping a journal has helped to focus my prayers and helped me to be able to look back and to reflect on the things that I've been praying for. And this might be one of those things. As you reflect on praying for wisdom and praying for different aspects of it, writing things down and then being able to look back and reflect on the things that you've prayed for and what God has done since you've prayed for those things might be a helpful practice for you. James instructs us to ask God for wisdom. His characteristics of wisdom can help focus those prayers, and I think a simple practice like recording those, like journaling, might help be another means that God can use to grant us wisdom. So what is wisdom? Wisdom's a lot of things. It's hard to encapsulate in a short definition. But James gives us eight characteristics to look toward. Why is it important? It affects how we live. It affects the things that we do, how we care for others, how we're peacemakers in the world around us. And how do we get it? We pray. We ask God. We ask God to grant us the wisdom in the ways that we need wisdom, and we keep track of God's progress as we pursue wisdom together. And ultimately, Jesus is recorded in two of our Gospels as saying the phrase, wisdom is vindicated by her children. So in this, Jesus agrees with James that those that have wisdom are shown to be wise by the way in which they live in the world. So for 2020, Lord, our prayer is that you would grant us wisdom, that wisdom that we need to live well, that we may do good works, that we would help others that need help, and we would be peacemakers in the world around us. And Lord, give us your wisdom, we pray. In your name we pray. Amen.